This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
In a week where we saw the long-awaited debut of close personal friend of Stuart Broad, the Nighthawk, this is Can't Bowl, Can't Throw.
This is an interminable delay. Again, just to fill you in, helmet came out. It's the protocol, so you have to replace a helmet once it's been even gently rattled. First one was rejected by the Nighthawk.
Is that David Gower?
That was David Gower talking about the Nighthawk. You're here with Kat Jans and Dan Lipke. And what is the Nighthawk, Kat?
The Nighthawk is a new term for a night watchman, but only if it's Stuart Broad, right?
Only if it's Stuart Broad, yes. It's the baseball version of the night watchman, right?
It's also an inclusive version. It's not gendered. Mm, yep. It's not a night watchwoman or a night watchman. It's a Nighthawk. I mean, I think we should just absolutely run with this, even if you're not in a baseball team.
Yeah, I think that's right. So basically, yeah, instead of coming out and, you know, blocking the ball and doing all the boring stuff that a night watchman has traditionally done, the Nighthawk comes out and thrashes it around and tries to hit as many runs as they can. At least that's what it was pitched to us as, right?
I'd like to think, though, that Nathan Lyon is more of a night, maybe he's a night owl.
Night owl.
I think there's already a term for night owl.
A night goat.
A night goat. A night goat. Well, goats probably sleep at night time.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty appropriate for when Nathan Lyon comes out.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And we also, as you mentioned, traditionally the Nighthawk is just Stuart Broad, but we can expand it out a little bit further. But Stuart Broad was the person who was first given the role as part of the whole baseball thing. He basically teased it out, I think, at the end of last year. He's like, oh, we're really thinking about bringing out this Nighthawk role, and he's like changing his Twitter profile to say that he's the Nighthawk, and he's making T-shirts, and he's, you know, digging out a Nighthawk cave lair underneath Stately Broad Manor. He's like really getting carried away with it.
There are already T-shirts out there, of course, because Nighthawk has another pop culture reference that I have no idea about, but I know it does.
There is a superhero called the actual Nighthawk, but this is better, I think.
Yeah, it is. It's interesting, though. Originally, I think I just thought that the Nighthawk was people who were supposed to be playing carefully, but actually they can't help but thrash at the ball.
No, this is a plan.
It's an absolute plan, is it?
So once the actual Nighthawk got into action, we did see what it involved. It involved from the second ball he faced, Broad basically top-edged one straight up into the sky, and then somehow tricked the bowler and the wicketkeeper into just staring at one another as the ball landed in between them. So that's great Nighthawk stuff.
It was some kind of magnetic force that he just turned his Nighthawk eyes on them and they couldn't move.
A few balls later, he was clipped on the helmet and had a concussion check and just wasted about 15 minutes trying to find a helmet that fit him. And that's what we heard from David Gower. David Gower talking about how the Nighthawk was rejecting helmets that didn't
fit him. Fabulous shenanigans there. Yes. Very reminiscent of is my shoe tied up tightly enough? Is there a piece of sparkle on that side screen?
Yep. So Broad's clearly been Nighthawking since 2013, or at least foreshadowing the Nighthawk. Yeah, undercover Nighthawk.
Foreshadowing.
And he was, of course, eventually out the next morning for 7 off 17 balls, which didn't feel very Nighthawkish at all. It felt more like a traditional Night Watchman.
Indeed. And why was this the debut of the Nighthawk? Hasn't he done this before?
No, well, he hadn't had a chance to do it before. I think every other time when they might have sent a Night Watchman in, he either wasn't playing. So this was his debut as the Nighthawk. And if you want to know more about the Nighthawk, there is an entire episode devoted to the topic on the podcast that's hosted by friends of the podcast, Dave and Mick Tickner.
That's Ahead of the Eight Ball?
Ahead of the Eight Ball, yes.
Uh-huh. This is the part of the show where we discuss the cricket news of the week.
Lots of stuff going on in the world of cricket, but we only have time to cover the first two tests of the Border Gavaskar Trophy in India. How's it going for Australia, Dan?
It's going about as well as we expected, right?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely meeting my expectations.
So just to kind of recap some of the highlights from these first two tests, we did have a lot of whinging before the first test, right? A lot of whinging about the pitch.
Yes.
Not so much by the players, or at least not in public anyway. They were, you know, all very, oh no, it's the same for both teams, all perfectly fair. But a lot of the journos and fans got very upset about the pitch.
Well, not just the pitch we were playing on, but they got upset about the pitches for forthcoming matches as well, right?
Yeah.
So that is classic. Classic Australia, whinge about the pitch.
Yep.
Definitely. Yep.
So it did get me thinking about maybe there should be like a reality TV show about pitches, and you can get, you know, ground staff from all over the world just come together. They all make a pitch, and then, you know, like any good reality TV show, they get knocked out one by one until they, you know, they find the best pitch.
There's a lot of air travel involved in this reality TV show.
There is, yeah. Curators flying in and out all over the place. Yeah, very, very busy.
Do you get the curators to do a pitch that isn't in their home patch?
I think so. I think that's the best way to do it. That's the only way of testing their abilities, right?
Yeah, they swipe left, they swipe right, they get matched up with the pitch, and then they have to fly to that location with very little, with their roller in hand.
With their roller, yeah.
The heavy roller.
You've got to check in the heavy roller onto the plane.
The light roller.
The light rollers carry on.
Yeah. Anyway, how do we come to some kind of conclusion?
It's just Twitter poll, I guess.
Right.
And the only way to do it. And the only reason I just want to call this show Pitch Perfect.
Oh, that is perfect.
And there you go.
I am totally on board with this.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of pitches, because of the turning nature of the pitches, Australia had some new spinners in the team, right?
They had nothing but spinners. I didn't know Australia had this many spinners.
I know, they're everywhere all of a sudden. I just thought it was Nathan Lyon and the occasional Travis Head or Marnus. But now we've got Todd Murphy, who did well in his first test.
That's right. He was quite spectacular in the first match, and then Matt Kuhneman in the second. There's a bunch of different spinners. Is there going to be some more new ones for the next couple?
I think they just add one. At least one new spinner every test. I hope they've got like six or seven spinners by the final test match.
Yeah. And of course, India had fewer spinners than Australia had, which is a good turn.
Yeah. Well, they pretend they have three spinners. They pretend they've got Ashwin, Jadeja and Axar, but Axar never actually bowls for them. They don't need him.
No?
So he's just like this professional batter who comes in at number eight to bolster their batting lineup, you know, in the unlikely event that they need some runs down the order.
Yeah, and I tell you what, you could actually bat Ashwin and Jadeja as batters too.
Yep. Yes. Anyway, but because of all this spin talk and Australia did drop Travis Head before the first test, they picked Pete Hanscom. And this was mostly based on the theory that Hanscom was right-handed. There was a theory that Australia had too many left-handers in their top order. Hanscom's right-handedness got him a spot, and it got everybody very mad on social media. And the thing I like the most about this is that for once they're upset at Cummins for not being leftist enough, which I think is very good.
It was such a great con from India, right? Let's pretend we've prepared a pitch that the left-handers are going to have trouble on. Keep all our left-handers in our side, and that'll make Australia pick a bunch of random right-handers that they didn't want to play.
Yep.
So
anyway.
Great.
Australia did go on to lose the first test by an innings after they were bowled out for 91.
Is that all?
Yeah. Alan Border broke it down why Australia lost the test. He attributed to Steve Smith giving the thumbs up to Jadeja after he beat him with a good delivery. He doesn't like Steve Smith giving thumbs up when good deliveries are bowled.
And thank you to Alan Border. We never would have suspected that was, in fact, the cause.
Yeah. Well, our friend of the podcast, Tom Evans, correctly pointed out if Smith hadn't given the thumbs up, Jadeja wouldn't have known if spinning one past the batter's outside edge was good or not.
Yeah.
So, yeah, bad tactics from Steve Smith.
Always good to give cross-team feedback.
How did Australia go in the second test?
Well, they did. Well, I guess they did a little bit better in the second test. They actually did do better right up to the point when they suddenly collapsed in a heap. Yeah, they suddenly didn't.
Yeah.
So anyway, at one point they had India 7 wickets down in the first innings, which was
they were
amazing.
Still like 100 runs behind.
Yeah, it was incredible. And then of course, the middle order spinning batter experts came in. Akshar and Ashwin got them pretty much level.
Yeah, one run behind, yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, Ashwin and Jadeja just decided that they would just knock Australia over in the next innings.
Session, more or less.
Yeah, they started the third day in such a great spot. And then, anyway,
that
it all ended.
Didn't last very long.
No.
Yeah. Other highlights of that second test, I did enjoy Australia had to have this new next level tactic, I like to think of it. They burnt all their reviews in the first half hour. They just said, no, we don't want them. We're going to send everything upstairs until we get rid of them. Yeah. And then they got all the tight umpires calls going their way. And I think that's very cunning stuff from Cummins and McDonald.
Interesting.
They're working on the psychology of the umpires here who aren't going to not give it to them because they know they've got no reviews.
Yeah, so, I think that is a fascinating. You wonder whether they're analysing that in the background. Not that you want to burn all your reviews necessarily, but constantly reviewing also does put the batters under pressure, whether or not they're accurate or not.
Yes. We also had Dave Warner ruled out halfway through the test or at the end of the first day. He had a concussed hairline fracture of the elbow.
Yes, indeed. And so great that the concussion just came a fraction of a second before we realised that elbow fracture was there.
Yeah, you had some theories about this,
didn't you? I had some doubts. I mean, we all know that fractures don't show up straight away on an x-ray, so no point going to hospital for your elbow to be x-rayed until we're absolutely certain that you have concussion.
Yes.
Because the fracture will not show up till the next day. So, all absolutely above board as far as I'm concerned.
I meant that Matt Renshaw subbed in for Dave Warner, and Renshaw just doesn't play normal tests anymore, does he? No. He either plays and has COVID or he subs in and plays half a test. He's a very, very, very strange cricketer all of a sudden.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think he's a professional T20 player and
which we never remember when he started. He was like this guy whose number one skill was leaving the ball and he was like this dour partner to Warner at the top of order. He's a very strange career.
Totally different.
Anyway, Sunil Gavaskar didn't like Warner being subbed. He was on commentary and he was claiming that concussion substitutes are a reward for not being able to play the short ball.
Wow, that's so fascinating.
He was ushered out of the commentary box very quickly after making that statement.
That's so great. And is this trophy still called the Border Gavaskar Trophy?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think based on Border's fury at Steve Smith's thumbs up and Gavaskar's claims about concussion substitutes, it is the most boomer prize in world cricket now, surely.
It is the most boomer trophy ever, and it's wonderful if we can have Border and Gavaskar on comms together just complaining about this series that is named after them. So great.
Yeah. The thing I like most about Gavaskar's claim about concussion substitutes is it's ironically the kind of opinion that only somebody who'd been hit in the head several times by a cricket ball might come up with.
Yeah.
Please support capitalism by checking out these sponsors.
All right, this episode is sponsored by Anala Stumps. That's the new mini podcast that I'm doing after every day of these Australia-India tests. You might have seen a couple pop up in the Can't Bowl, Can't Throw feed. It's where I analyse the state of play in 2 or 3 minutes each. I just break down the important facts of the day's play.
So. And this is definitely a parody. Of a very specific style. Actually, it's a parody of two styles of podcasts. It's a parody of the Let's Summarise the Day's Play, which everyone does. But it's also a parody of this very interesting style of podcast. It's like a podcast that talks about a show and doesn't really tell you very much.
Yes.
It's fantastic.
Anyway, we do have sponsors on board for this particular show, Anala Stumps. We've got Cafe Curtly, the cafe where you can get a cup of coffee with no barista chat. We also had Netflix, which is not the one you're thinking of. It's an online streaming service that specialises in showing you flick shots of cricketers practising in the nets. And, of course, we had Advanced Daryl Hair Studios. Advanced Daryl Hair, yeah. So search for Anala Stumps. That's AnalyStumps. And you do have to be careful with the spelling.
And don't search the hashtag. There may be some other meanings for that one.
Let's play Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grade Cricketer?
All right, it's time now for Kat to do yet another quiz. We're still not sure whether Kat is smarter than a fifth grade cricketer.
No.
So we've got a new quiz to check
the
it out.
The reason I have to be the contestant every time is that Dan just puts more work into this podcast than I do.
Kat's the talent. I'm just the producer working behind the scenes.
Most of the time I haven't prepared a quiz in time for this podcast. I'm just going to completely distract this podcast now. I'm still astounded about our discovery that the headphones that we're wearing... You've got one headphone on the ear, and the other headphone could just be flipped around and you can just rest it on your temple so that you can hear each other in fresh air. I had no idea that headphones did that.
Yeah, so modern technology.
I've just learnt something today that means I might have to go and have a nap to integrate this new learning.
Yeah. Anyway, before you integrate your new learning about the headphones, let's see how much of the T20 World Cup over in South Africa that you've integrated.
Fantastic. I was wondering when we would get to the good Australian team.
Yes. So speaking of the good Australian team, they are cruising through the T20 World Cup. They cruise through the group stages anyway. They've undefeated and have made the semi-finals. So this week's quiz, I'm going to go through each of the four matches that they played, and I'm going to remove individual Australian players' contributions from the scorecard. And you just have to say stop when you think I've removed enough players for the opposition to have outscored them.
Because, of course, we don't ever really need a full complement of the women. One or two of them quite often carry us. But this is going to be a hard quiz because, of course, the matches are in the middle of the night. And I haven't watched any of them. No. And when you watch highlights, you kind of don't know really what people have scored and so on. So it relies on me memorising these scorecards, which...
We'll see how you go. You might just be able to piece it together. Anyway, game one was Australia versus New Zealand. Australia made 9 for 173 batting first. New Zealand didn't reach this total. I won't tell you how close they got.
But they did cry in all the press conferences. I do remember that much.
Okay. That may give you a hint. Anyway, I'm going to subtract batters from the Australian total, and you just have to tell me to stop when I've removed enough runs from the Australian scorecard for New Zealand to have won with the total they made.
So they made 173. They had a fair bit on the table. Okay, we're going to start taking batters off.
I'm going to start taking batters off the Australian scorecard. Okay. And if you get it exactly right, will you tell me to stop exactly right? I'll give you 3 points. If you get, Aussie rule style, if you get, one either side, I'll give you a point.
Oh, what about if I miss it by like 20 or 30?
You get 0.
Okay, that's going to happen.
All right, so I'm removing Beth Mooney from the scorecard. Have New Zealand won yet?
No. I don't think she did very well in this match.
Right. I'm removing Meg Lanning from the scorecard. Have New Zealand won yet?
Oh, bloody hell. The Meg Lanning definitely made some runs. Did she make 50 runs? I think she made a 50. So I'm taking it. So no, we still... Still, New Zealand didn't reach 100. What is that? So that makes 123. I don't think New Zealand made more than 100. So I'm going to say no. We've got to remove more than Megan Lanning.
I'm removing Ash Gardner from the scorecard.
Oh, God. Ash Gardner. The $500,000 Ash Gardner.
Yes.
Did she make a 50 as well? I don't think so. I'd say we're down to about 100 now. So, okay, keep removing.
All right. I'm removing Elise Perry from the scorecard.
Elise Perry. We've got 173 to play with. Has New Zealand won yet? I reckon. Who have we removed so far?
Beth Mooney, Meg Lanning, Ash Gardner, and now Elise Perry. Got to make it fair.
I'm going to say no, not quite. I don't think Perry. I can't remember. But I'm going to say I'll take one more off. This is like playing poker. It's like playing some kind of card game.
It's like Deal or No Deal. I'm also taking Talia McGrath off.
Okay, well, we can't take any more batters off. I'm going to stop there and say I think New Zealand have now won.
They haven't quite won yet.
Australia
are currently down to 81 runs, which is 5 runs more than New Zealand's 76. But you did get one within one of what I was going to suggest, because the next one out would have been Elisa Healy, which would have taken us down to 36 runs.
Okay, so
you get one point for that. 1 point
because
you got reasonably close.
Reasonably close. Okay, I can get better on my next estimate.
All right, so the next one, this gets slightly more complicated because this is where Australia are chasing now. So Bangladesh made 7 for 107 batting first.
Uh-huh.
Australia successfully chased down that target. They had balls to spare when they chased it down.
Of course, they had balls to spare.
I'm not going to tell you how many balls, though. Instead, I'm going to subtract balls from the Australian innings based on the number of balls each Australian bowler bowled. I'll keep the Bangladesh total the same, but Australia will have fewer and fewer deliveries within which to chase it. And you just have to tell me when the shorted innings from Australia results in too few balls for Australia to win.
Oh, good grief.
Okay.
Yep, okay.
All right, so let's begin. Let's take Elise Perry's overs out of Australia. So however many overs Elise Perry bowled, those are taken out of Australia's run chase. Do they have enough overs to win?
So that means she probably bowled 4 overs. I reckon probably that gives us 16 overs. Australia's still got plenty. We can take more off.
All right. I'll take Megan Shute out. Now do they have enough overs to win?
Megan Shute. Was she even playing this match?
I just shrugged.
Oh, my goodness. This makes it very difficult. Okay, well.
You know Meg Lenning gives all kinds of random numbers at all. Even if she was playing, she may not have bowled.
Quite often, every single person bowls. Mm. Or, and now that I know that maybe these players were not even in the squad, that makes it very difficult. Okay, let's take – yeah, I'm happy to lose her overs as well.
Okay, so all right.
I still think we can chase it down without
– Without Perry and Shute's number of overs.
Yep.
All right, now I'm taking Annabelle Sutherland out.
Annabelle Sutherland. I mean, didn't Australia make this – they made one of their 4 matches, they made it in about 2 overs. But I don't know which one it was. Was it this one that they chased it down – So can we chase down 170? No, but you better look. I'll go back to my original. Don't take Annabelle out.
Okay. Well, you get 1 point. You should have stopped after Megan Shute.
Right.
Elise Perry bowled just the 1 over, so that took it down to 19. Megan Shute did bowl the 4 overs. And Australia actually needed 18.2 overs to run that down. So
really?
Yeah. So they definitely needed both all those overs. Annabelle Sutherland bowled 0 overs in that match. She may not have played.
See, I knew that there was going to be some trickery there.
All right,
there,
so you get 1 point for that
played.
One too. You haven't got a spot on yet. So we'll try again. Sri Lanka batted first and scored 8 for 112. Australia had balls to spare.
Mm.
Stop me when you think I've removed enough overs to make it a fair contest. I'm taking out Darcy Brown.
Darcy Brown. And which match is this?
This is against Sri Lanka. They're chasing 113 to win.
Okay. Take out Darcy Brown. Okay. Well, I'm going to assume she bowled 4 overs. Let's take her out. I'm happy to take out the first one.
Okay. Let's take out Grace Harris.
Yeah, I think that's fine. Take out Grace Harris.
Let's take out Talia McGrath.
Yeah, let's take her out too.
Oh, wow. Let's take out Ash Gardner.
No, don't take her out. I'm happy to lose three bowlers. Hopefully they didn't all bowl 0 overs. But let's take them out.
All right, you're stopping at Ash Gardner?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, full marks for that one.
Hooray!
So Darcy Brown bowled 1 over.
Yep.
Grace Harris bowled 3 overs. Talia McGrath bowled 0 overs.
Mm-hmm.
And Ash Gardner bowled 2 overs. So Ash Gardner would have taken that down to 14 overs with those 4.
And we wouldn't have chased it.
Yeah, because they needed 15.5 overs to win. Although they did it with 0 wickets down.
Okay.
All right, fourth and final game.
They just took their time. I mean, why hurry when you've got all of those overs? So what's the fourth and final game?
Fourth and final game is Australia versus South Africa. You have 5 points now. Let's see if you can get another one on the nose.
Mm.
South Africa batted first. They scored 6 for 100.
I mean, I should be getting better at this. I don't think I am, though.
They scored 6 for 124.
Mm-hmm.
Australia had balls to spare. Stop me when you think I've removed enough overs to make it a fair contest. I'm taking out Elise Perry.
So Elise Perry, let's see. Well, she only bowled 1 over in 1 of the matches. Did she get more overs in this match? This is the most recent match, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this one is fresher in my mind. Not fresh enough, I'd say. But it is fresher in my mind. Oh, this is a real challenge. I want to go back to the first one, but of course Australia has not been batting first.
No.
Maybe they will in the finals. Right. So we're taking out Perry.
Yep. You happy with that?
Perry get some wickets? She got 1 wicket in this match. How many overs did she bowl? Look, I don't know. Let's say that she bowled a couple of overs. Yeah, happy to take her out.
All right. What about Georgia Wareham? I'm taking Georgia Wareham out.
Georgia Wareham. She definitely played and she probably bowled a couple of overs. Let's say that I'm going to give them all 2 overs each because I've got to even this out. Let's say she bowled 2 overs as well.
You're thinking like Meg Lanning now.
I am thinking like you finally got me thinking like Meg Lanning. I could win this game if I was captaining it.
Yep.
Okay, go on, take her out.
Alana King.
Alana King. No, this is a good total. South Africa was a difficult match. It wasn't quite as easy. I mean, Australia still chased it down, right, in plenty of balls left. But it was only a few overs left, I think.
Maybe.
So no, don't take out Alana King. I'm stopping this.
You're stopping at Alana King. All right. Well, you went one too far. You should have stopped at Georgia Wareham.
Right.
So Elise Perry had 2 overs. Georgia Wareham had 3 overs.
Oh, she had 3.
Which takes us down to 15 overs. And Australia needed 16.3 overs to run that down. So there you go. Mm. You get 1 point for that. That takes you to 6 points in total. I think that's enough to make you smarter than a fifth grade cricketer.
This was such a difficult quiz. Hopefully, people listening can understand it. I reckon I should be. I'm definitely smarter than a fifth grade cricketer. Yeah. I'm smarter than a Border and a Gavaskar for actually being able to even play this game and get the concept. It was very clever. Thank you, yes. Dan.
No worries. And Australia play India in the first semi-final later this week, and we will see how many cricketers they need to win.
Can't bowl, can't throw, coming live. Thanks for tuning in and taking your time. The underappreciated act of the week, the funniest and crazy plays of the week. Who is gonna join the honorary board? The number one Scott Moeller Award.
Here we are in the Moeller Award, which is where we celebrate interesting and wonderful and unexpected things in the world of cricket.
And I think one of the interesting and wonderful things is, isn't this band reforming?
Oh, yeah, I did see that. Yeah, they're coming back. Six and out are back.
Is that going to be a problem for us?
Oh, almost certainly.
We might be able to get a more up-to-date version of the song.
Maybe. Maybe there'll be some kind of remix. Yeah.
We could get them to play live in our podcast.
That'd be good.
I don't think we really could. No. So no. We're just speculating. And that's not a Moeller nomination, the fact that they're reforming, but it should be.
Yeah, maybe next week. Maybe once they actually do their first tour, we can go and...
Six and out. Play fabulous boomer venues around Australia. Come and see them, but only if you're over 55.
Yep. Yes. All right. What's our first nomination?
Okay. the first nomination, I think it's Cummins, who must have been trolling. Pat Cummins is nominated because he must have been trolling the English, right, when he said that Australia winning in India is a much bigger feat than Australia winning the Ashes or even winning in England.
Yep.
So that... I guess it was controversial, but only for England fans.
It was only for England fans. Yeah. They're the only ones getting upset. I think everybody else in world cricket knows that India is quite a tricky place to win cricket in if you are not from India, which Australia are going about proving. So maybe Cummins is maybe they're trying to support Cummins' statement by playing so poorly. It's like, see, England, we told you it was tough.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, this is the problem with having a big three, right? Someone's always going to be left out if Australia and India are playing. Poor old England feel a little bit left out. Their supporters get a bit sad if we mention that it's hard to win in India.
That's right. And full credit to Guerrilla Cricket, who are still commentating the Australia and India series, which is absolutely fabulous to have English people commenting on how they're kind of complaining about both teams equally because there's no England there to worry about. That's great.
But they'd probably be enjoying Australia's demise more than they'd enjoy any of England's wins, I would have thought.
Yeah, maybe. Mm. Anyway, we can get the big three playing together, can't we? We know a method for this.
We do, yeah. We need to get South Africa's three-team cricket up and running. I don't know why that disappeared. It was the best form of cricket there is.
It has to get up and running again. Yeah. So go for it, South Africa. Yeah. Maybe this could be another fresh competition in India. That would be fabulous.
That would be great. My next nomination, I've got Mark Waugh on commentary in India. Like, he said a lot of stupid things over there. He's got a bit testy with some of the India co-commentators needling him, and he's been taking the bait.
Are you missing Shane Warne on commentary in India?
Not really.
I am, because I think I would rather have Shane Warne than Mark Waugh.
No, anyway. I love Mark Waugh, because my favourite piece of Mark Waugh commentary this time was told that the two ends of the stadium that they played at in the first test were the north end and the south end. And he was like, well, which one's which? He couldn't work it out, despite the fact there were shadows creeping onto the ground as the afternoon sun set. It was just like, see if you can work it out, Mark.
Yep,
which direction does the sun set?
Called the sun.
Yeah, he couldn't work it out. That was easily my favourite thing.
Yeah, that's right. Spatial directions, not people's forte. Some people have trouble with numbers. Some have trouble with space.
Yes. What else did we have in India? Well, in terms of Australian commentators in India.
So was that the same match where Hayden turned up to do some kind of pitch report in a very garish cowboy hat, hot pink, I think it was.
Yep, that is. He's continued to wear it. He wears it now to all the pitch reports. So he's obviously got positive feedback about the hot pink cowboy hat.
Yep.
So good on him, I say. So good work from Matt Hayden and his pink cowboy hat.
Well, it's very hot out there. We noticed before there's plenty of sun.
Yep.
And you want to cast a shadow so that Mark Warbeck in the commentary box knows where the sun is.
Yes. Still in India, but away from the border, Gavaskar Trophy for a moment. Well, this was some local game. I'm not quite sure what level it was played at, but a fielder managed to completely outshine. Remember Michael Nisa bouncing around the boundary, yes, making sure his feet didn't touch the ground at the same time as the ball? We all thought that was a bit of comical nonsense from Michael Nisa.
Yeah.
An India fielder's completely outdone him. He did a little bit of dancing on the boundary rope, as so many fielders do. Except this guy ended it by doing a scissor kick over his head, where he kicked the ball back to his teammate, launching outside the boundary rope, kicking it while it was still in the air, and completed the catch.
Yeah, straight to his teammate. I mean, this is definitely putting a challenge out there to Maxwell.
Oh, definitely.
Can you top this? What bit of your body can you juggle with now?
I don't want to speculate.
It's not going to be enough to just, you know, grab it with your hands, do a bit of fast footwork.
That's
on the
so passe.
Yeah, you got to have time to go into the rooms, grab your helmet, come back, make it bounce off your helmet, yep, then another shoulder maybe, yep, and then maybe
like hacky sack.
Yeah, nice. A foot behind your bum, maybe something, yep, like that. Like, yep. There's definitely a challenge. Yes. But go have a look for this.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I'll try and throw it in the show notes. So have a look there.
Yeah, it's really terrific.
And I've got another nomination, which somebody broke the Barmy Army's trumpet over in New Zealand. So they're looking for emergency repairs. They tweeted out, anybody know how to fix a trumpet? And if I were in New Zealand, I would put my hand up and say, oh, yes, I'm a qualified trumpet repairman.
I can fix it.
And I would take their trumpet from them and I would keep it for all 5 days of the test.
That is so wonderful. And I also, you know, maybe the trumpet just spontaneously broke, but also who got hold of the trumpet? Like, how did this happen? I want to know the backstory. Yep. Did they leave it somewhere while they went to the beer queue or went to the toilet, came back and all of a sudden, whoops, trumpet doesn't work anymore?
That's a shame.
What a shame.
Very disappointing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now we got one final nomination.
And it's Jimmy Anderson.
Yes.
And good on Jimmy Anderson at the ripe old age of whatever he is.
54 or something.
55. He'll be going, yep, to see Six and Out any minute. He's average. He looks fabulous, by the way, out there. He looks handsome as ever. He looks old, but he looks really good when he's bowling. And his average went below 26 for the first time since his second test nearly 20 years ago. How incredible is that?
That's crazy. I mean, he's on the brink of becoming a top-tier bowler. Yeah. So good on him for sticking with it, I say.
Anything could happen now. Mm.
Mm. I originally wrote that joke for Dennis. I don't know what's happened to Dennis. Well, whatever happened to him?
Dennis would have enjoyed that joke.
Yes. Anyway, so who gets the muller this week?
Well, I think Dennis would have given it to Jimmy Anderson.
He would have, but Dennis isn't here, so I'm giving it to Mark Waugh for not knowing which where the sun sets.
Yeah,
so
that is true muller worthy. Mark Waugh hasn't won one for a while.
Yes. So congratulations to Mark Waugh.
Fantastic. So you have been listening to Dan Liebke and Kat Jones here on the podcast. Dan is on Twitter and so am I. And you can go and find us at Lieb Cricket or at CricketBatCat. Dan has a massive amount of content.
Mm.
If you are consuming some of it, you do need to go and just subscribe to the Patreon.
Yes.
And listen to the anally stumps. Oh, sorry, analysis stumps.
Analysis stumps, yes. Got to be very careful with that one.
Yeah, it's a nice short one. If you think this one's actually longer than usual.
This is our longest ever podcast.
This is our longest podcast. This will be good for the people who've been complaining that it's too short. We do get some grumpy people complaining that it's too short. But if you want one shorter than this, you need to go to analysis stumps.
Yes, and we will see you all next week.
Social Podcast Network.